You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're going to talk some sports stuff here with Ron Wyden, United States Senator for Oregon, a seat he's held since 1996. He was in the United States House of Representatives before that, from 81 until 1996. Senator Wyden, thank you so much for making time for us. But before I get to your sports links, I wanted to ask you just what the last couple of weeks have been like for you at the center of American scandal and shame and disaster and everything else that was going on when we're looking and hoping for leadership from the country during impeachment hearings. Those had to be super weird for you.
Dan, they were, and I don't think history is going to look kindly on those 43 United States senators that put their loyalties to Donald Trump ahead of their loyalties to the Constitution. I will tell you that I continue to believe that we've got a great resiliency in our country. And this morning, I'm thinking about my late friend, John Lewis, who'd always talk to me. I'm chairman of the Finance Committee, writes healthcare, tax laws. He'd say, Ron, let's go make some good trouble.
Did you have any idea that the country was as torn as it's proven to be over the last 4 years?
Dan, we knew that there were major divisions, and Trump, of course, fed them. He built them up. He felt that the whole point of elections and governing was the same thing, which was to divide the country rather than bring people together. I believe one aspect of the 2020 election that favored Joe Biden is he just said, I'm going to do my best to try to bring people together. And I think day after the election, he says, I'm going to speak for the people who voted for me and the people who didn't.
What did you make of the show the Trump lawyers put on?
Well, the Trump lawyers had a horrible case. And, you know, I'm a lawyer in name only. I ran the legal aid program for senior citizens, the Gray Panthers. My wife always used to kid me, I'm marrying you because you're not a real lawyer. And if you really don't have the facts or the law, you just make up for it by raising the decibel level and doing a lot of shouting. That's what they did.
What did you think of Mitch McConnell? Just the just all of it.
Mitch McConnell, of course, empowered Donald Trump for a full 4 years. I mean, there's just no question about that. And he and Donald Trump, one of the aspects, again, history, I don't think is going to look favorably on, basically went out and rebuilt the judiciary to be right wing. And I believe those kinds of judges on a number of cases are going to be for turning back the clock. At the end, of course, Mitch McConnell, he does this often, wanted to have it both ways. He voted for acquittal and then said all the things that would have justified a conviction. And I think he did that as well because he was looking to his political base. Apparently he wants to run for re-election. So I think all of those were factors.
Senator, the day the Capitol building was attacked, what was it like for you? Can you articulate it for us? Can you walk us through what that experience was like for you?
It was, in a word, horrifying. And my calling card here at home in Oregon, I'm sitting at my kitchen table. So I have town hall meetings, throw open the doors. We've had some tense situations, but nobody had ever seen anything like this. I mean, you had the domestic terrorists, and guys, make no mistake about it, these were domestic terrorists. Domestic terrorism is using force to get your political agenda, and they didn't want to have the votes counted because they knew Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would prevail. And we were very, very close to a situation where they would have broke through the doors. And I think that we would have had more deaths.
So as you see what played out play out, as you see, I mean, you knew pretty early in that wasn't going, that impeachment wasn't going to end up anywhere other than where it did, right? As you see it play out that way, you feel how about what's going on in our country and how our country just looks with all of that, where at the end you just have a protect the power, protect the money, protect the party, even if the party comes apart in splinters because this guy has taken an axe to it.
Two points. One, around the world, people were looking at what happened, many watching it on live television, and they, in effect, said, we thought this might happen in our country. We never thought it would happen in America. Now, this just redoubles my effort to really focus on economic and social justice. You know, I have a big bill with respect to mental health. I mean, we've seen mental health claims go through the stratosphere. A lot of the tension is on the streets, police versus mental health and the like. I've come up with an approach called CAHOOTS, so that when a call comes in, the police and mental health folks are working together to try to determine the nature of that challenge on the street. So this has just redoubled my efforts, Dan, to try to go out there and help people. I'm Jewish. We have a word called tikkun olam, which means perfect the world. And that to me is what public service is all about.
So you've done some things in sports where you're interested in service of the athlete. I don't know which one of your causes is the one that's closest to you, whether it's Enes Kanter, whether it's the work you've done on a Bill of Rights for college athletes, or whether it's the most recent reason that you're with us, which is the concussion settlement that the NFL had. You sent a letter to the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, I guess this week, questioning the league's formula for making concussion settlement payments to black former players. Where would you like to start in terms of those three causes?
Yeah, let's knit these together. The question of the Bill of Rights and the algorithms and Enes Kanter and the like. What this is really all about is ensuring that we protect our core kind of values. Enes Kanter and I are talking about human rights, the effort with respect to making sure that the black athletes get a fair shake on these concussion settlements is about racial justice. The college, you know, students, to a great extent, that's those college athletes, that's about economic justice. You got a kid on the field whose kind of net worth is practically zero, and people in the stands are wearing their jersey, and that young person doesn't get anything out of it. So I would just offer up, in the spirit of what I think public service is supposed to be all about, which is helping people, giving everybody in America the chance to get ahead. It's just the opposite of Donald Trump. Donald Trump was about scoring points with his base, and then he was looking to enrich himself. What I think public service is about, and those three issues have a real connection, is about justice. And very often there's a legislative approach. I mentioned CAHOOTS on the issue of fairness for the black athletes. I'm very concerned about these algorithms. These are these formulas that kind of have this scientific credibility, and I think often reflect a bias, particularly in the instance I'm concerned about, that's unfair to black athletes. But I've got legislation with Senator Cory Booker, Congresswoman Clark, called the Algorithm Accountability Act, so that these algorithms would have to be tested. If they weren't fair in terms of ensuring compliance with civil rights laws and like, they had to be fixed.
Well, let's take these one at a time. What are you trying to accomplish with the specifics of the Bill of Rights?
Well, with the Bill of Rights, and we're still trying to flesh it out, is we want to make sure that we, in effect, say that athletes, these college, you know, athletes in particular, are going to have certain basic, you know, protections. Right now, you know, they can just be pretty much thrown aside if they have, you know, an injury. And we want to make sure that there is some measure of economic justice. I gave the example of the person on the field who doesn't have much and they're wearing their jerseys in the stands. So we understand how much the athletes want to do in sports. They all dream of playing in the NFL. The college is a key part of it. But we also have to have economic and social justice. And that's what our Bill of Rights is all about.
Best case scenario, this change happens one. It happens when? Like, you think there's going to be some, we've been talking about this stuff for decades. And you know the factory, coming from your home state, you know the factory Nike has built around that program and everything else. So this, the actual paying of players, or paying them for their likeness, or a Bill of Rights being stronger in defense of the player, happens by when?
Dan, I'm like Yogi Berra. I don't do predictions, especially about the future. But I want to see this Congress get justice for these athletes. And let me give you an example of one of the issues that is really central, and we're going to have to work it through, the distribution of revenue from sports. And there's a big difference between, say, the conferences, the big conferences in the South, and small schools in Oregon. And I think there is now a recognition, and you see this among the universities, the college presidents. They say there's got to be change. There have to be reforms that ensure fairness for the players. Now we're down to working through some of the details, and we'll have some more to say about it here. Before too long. And again, I've been very pleased that Senator Booker he was a former end for Stanford. I played Division I basketball at 6'4". I really was hoping to play in the NBA. That was kind of a ridiculous idea, guys, because I was too small. And I made up for it by being really slow. But the fact is, two guys who were athletes who come from very different, you know, backgrounds, wanted to work together. And by the way, that's a good part of sports. And as Cantor and I were on a show yesterday, and the announcer pretty much said, "Hey, everybody, think about this." And as Cantor is a Muslim, and he got a chance to have his dream play in the NBA. Ron Wyden's Jewish, and he didn't get his dream of playing in the NBA. But they're still friends, and they're working together. Isn't that kinda, sorta, actually what America's supposed to be about? Of course.
Senator, my apologies. Carson Wentz was just traded to the Indianapolis Colts.
What was the trade, Stu? Wow. What was the trade? What did the Colts have to give up? I'm sure the sports fan and the senator would like to hear what the Colts had to give up to get Carson Wentz.
The Eagles have agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Colts. This, according to Adam Schefter, in exchange for a 2021 third-round pick and a conditional 2022 second-round pick that could turn into a first, league sources tell Mort and Adam Schefter. Senator, your thoughts?
Well, you know, our quarterback, you know, Justin, you know, he's playing in Los Angeles, and we're kind of following his career.
That's right. Justin Herbert has been exceptional. That doesn't have anything to do with what we asked you, Senator. And you also didn't mention that you averaged 2 points a game at UC Santa Barbara.
He's a true politician,
Dan. 2 points a game.
Dan, we have to set the record straight. I'm still looking for my freshman year averages. I think I was close to about 15 a game as a freshman. But in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say you're right about my marginal career as a sophomore. A lot of time on the bench.
I've got UC Santa Barbara, 2.6 points per game in my records is what I have.
The Gauchos.
He just made himself.
The Gauchos. We have set the record straight. No exaggeration.
How can you explain how it is that you got involved with the concussion settlement? What is it that because this is just, you just sent this letter to Goodell here this week, correct?
No, we sent it some time ago, Dan, a number of weeks ago. But look, I think we've talked about Cory Booker and I and the Bill of Rights and algorithms and the like. What I was really struck by is that this question of fairness for the black athletes was really right at the core of justice. I mean, I'm concerned that the NFL is using a formula for these payments that assumes that black players have lower cognitive function than white players. That is a showstopper. And so what I've been doing, guys, is trying to pry out of the NFL, where in hell did they come up with this? What assumptions? What are the data sets? Was there any vetting? Were there any audits? And Dan, I'm kind of a tech guy. I mentioned the Algorithm Accountability Act. I wrote the law that produced the book, The 26 Words That Created the Internet, basically kind of set out the policy. It's also known as Section 230, the Internet Tax Bill. Some of you guys might, when you're signing documents, use my digital signatures law. So this brought it all together for me. Sports, technology, and by the way, guys, this is not taking place in a vacuum. We're having a big debate about civil rights law in our country and about justice. We haven't even talked about George Floyd. So this really brought it all together.
Senator, thank you for giving us the time. We appreciate being able to peer into your kitchen. Anything delicious in there? Is there anything in there? Is there anything in there in the fridge that that is a special weakness that the senator will get into at midnight just because it's in there?
Well, you know, everybody in sports, guys, and Damian Lillard always talks about it, loves peanut butter. And peanut butter on wheat toast is in my, that's what's in my fridge. You know, right now, the wheat bread and the peanut butter is ready to go for the mid-morning snack.
Excellent. Excellent work.
Dan Dollar.
Yes. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate you being on with us. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
And I don't think anything says weekend and head into the club like Ron Wyden. So let's open up the club and send everyone into the weekend on a Thursday. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate it.
He wants to stick around for the club, it seems.
Yeah, you can stick around for the club if you want. It's going to be a little strange to him, but the show's...
I got to get out the door, guys, but I do want to make a request. I want to come back, okay?
All right. We will. Well, sure. We'll have you on again. We'll talk sports with you. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you Monday.
All right. Talk to you on Monday. Oh, this is very exciting. This is old school right here. We are... done for the week. We will try to be back on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday of next week. We will see when we can do Twitch again so that you can have another experience that feels something like this simulated ESPN news broadcast. What are you guys smiling about? What's happening back there? Why is Stugat smiling? Why is Mike Ryan smiling? Why is Billy smiling?
I have no idea why they're smiling. I mean, I'm smiling because we're done.
This feels dangerous playing this song.
Yeah.
Yes, Billy, what are you smiling about?
I mean, I saw someone on the Twitch. What if we replace Tim Kirkchin with Ron Wyden? Looks like with Ron Wyden every week. Probably a waste of his time.
What is the first sound that's allowed in the club?
When did the once lowly sneaker become the trendy superstar behind a red velvet rope?
Yeah, he came out, Greg Cody came out against sneakers this week and claimed to own only three pairs of shoes. And I believe that. Three pairs of shoes is what he's down to.
I have the under.
Is that our first senator?
We did a show many years ago where we had like a politics day or election day where we had Tom Osborne. We had like four or five senators.
Did we ever talk to Jason Spezza? I'll show myself out.
Who else is in the club?
You set yourself up for that one.
I can't.
Wow.
You're saying he hasn't contributed anything in 5 years. I'm telling you that the people who study this stuff,
right,
give him a ranking.
They should study harder.
That is Pro Football Focus, as Stugatz likes to say.
4 of the last 5 years, less than 5 right. sacks for a guy whose job it is right. to sack the quarterback.
Okay.
Hey, he's not good.
All right, so
AJ Klein had 5 sacks last year.
AJ Klein.
You love that.
I did.
What the f*** are the Texans doing?
Oh, wait a minute. What's the rest of that? What's the rest of that?
They hire a 65-year-old white head coach who's never coached before the NFL.
Damn it.
I will apologize. You don't need to apologize for anything. I need to apologize. They are my weekend observations. I said what I said. I had no idea, and I apologize to Jonathan Coachman, who has tweeted at us, and he's upset, and has every right to be upset. I honestly, and anyone who knows me will understand this and believe this, I honestly, until after the segment ended and we went to commercial break, had no idea that Jonathan Coachman was black.
Stugatz has got to be the world record holder, and it'll never be broken, right? I don't know whether you think the 56-game hitting streak or Cy Young's 311 victories is the most unbreakable record in sports. But I'm going to go ahead and say that getting not one but two black guys wrong in your broadcasting career, two people that you thought were white who were black,
yeah,
I believe that that's a record, and that's going to be an unbreakable sports record.
You know how many shoes Greg Cody has and wears in a given year? Three.
Chris, how long has your father had those boat shoes that he wears everywhere? How long?
They smell so bad.
How long has he had them? If you had to take a guess. He's been wearing, since at least the 90s.
I think, honestly, in my entire life, he's had three pair. And honestly, like, think about that. I literally think he goes through like 10. I think he's on year number 9 on this pair right now, literally.
I think he might be right. Who else is in the club?
Overrated. PFF. Is what I call it.
Should have my mask on, man. You're right.
You had a Hall of Fame worthy show today. Who else is in the club?
Mandrill. He would take his penis, he'd put it on the floor, and he'd take his hands, and he'd take the penis and knead it like a roll of bread on the floor, back and forth, leaning on it like this.
Mystery Crate, check it out. Sex and the Animals, Ron McGill. It's very good. What's Mystery Crate going to have in it tomorrow? What are we going to get from Mystery Crate tomorrow? Stugatz just told you he's trying to ensnare Dwight Freeney, turn him into a podcast star. It's going to be Dwight Freeney. And who else did you say was going to be on?
We got Dwight Freeney and Tony Baselli coming on this week. Very excited.
And Billy, what do we have in Mystery Crate?
That's a mystery, Dan. If I tell you, it's not a mystery.
Who else is it? Is it a mystery to you? Because I suspect it might be a mystery to you. Who else is in the club?
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huatulca.
It's going to make me laugh for a long time. It's even funnier as video.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now.
But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.